Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever, an iHeartRadio podcast. Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima coming to you from the home office in Austin, Texas. We are excited to team up for today's interview, because we both know and genuinely like this guest so much that we wanted to do this together. It is Pilot Pete Day. Peter Weber, who was on Hannah Brown's season of The Bachelorette, left brokenhearted, but then he became the star of his own show. He was our bachelor, and ended kind of well, didn't go well.
Ended well from an entertaining perspective. Yes. Great television. Didn't end great for Peter. To refresh your memory, this was Madison Pruitt, Hannah Ann Sless, Kelly Flanagan was involved.
Yeah.
And it all kind of crash landed, I hate to say. But Peter is doing so well, and we're so excited to talk to him.
Peter Weber joins us now. And it has been way too long since I have seen you, my friend. How have you been?
I've been good, man. It has. It's been a minute. I think, what was the last time? Is when you were moving out of Westlake.
Out of Westlake. Yeah, I mean, that was...
Oh my gosh, you came over with Kelly Flanagan.
Oh my God, yes.
I forgot about that.
We had a glass of wine on our back patio. It was Lauren and I and you and Kelly. You guys kind of came and hit out and we just sat and had a nice bottle of wine. And yeah, that was the last time we saw you.
Do you remember when I'd fly my drone over to your house from my house?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
We were like two kids. It was like, so people that don't know, Peter lives in this thing called First Neighborhood. I lived in this little neighborhood called The Trails. We were up in Westlake Village. Actually, bizarrely, as the crow flies, probably 5 miles from the Bachelor Mansion is where Peter grew up and where I lived. And if you could almost hit a golf ball from my back deck to Peter's house, and he would fly his drone. And so he would call or text me and I would walk out and there'd be a drone right off my deck. And it was, we were like two kids with walkie talkies. It's almost my brother and I, we had the soup cans with the strings. It's like, can you hear me? Peter, can you hear me?
So true.
Yeah, we were like 8 year olds.
I got to find that because I have that footage somewhere. So I got to find that.
I walked outside and there it was. It was really bizarre.
Wow. Were you naked?
I was buck ass naked. Yes.
Actually, yeah, we're not going to reveal that footage. Top secret.
But yeah, dude. So not much has changed since last time we saw you.
No, I mean, a lot. Yeah, let's see. So I was still living back. Yeah, I was living at home in Westlake with my parents out there. I moved out to New York City in January of 21. And yeah, I've just been here ever since. I had a little stint in Midtown East, then Upper East Side. And now I'm in Flatiron. Been out here for about a year, just renewed my lease. So I'm going to be here at least one more year. And just living the dream, man, flying for United, based out of Newark on the 78, doing awesome flying out to Europe, out to Asia, India, South Africa. So really, really enjoying that. And just enjoying living in the city.
But Peter, you're such a warm person. And I really mean this. I was thinking about that because, by the way, well, pandemic time like threw us all off. I don't know. It was years, but was it? It feels like no time has passed. But I just still feel... it doesn't feel like it's been that long. Like I was thinking today, I'm like, oh yeah, well, I forgot Peter couldn't come to the wedding. Was that because you were filming Traitors?
No, I was so close. I was in Dallas for another wedding that I had to go to. It was with my brother and I was so bummed because we were so close to Austin.
I know. I wish we'd seen you at the wedding, but it doesn't feel like it's been that long. But I was watching you on Traitors. I was telling Chris this, by the way, I loved you on Traitors. You were so great. But
thank
I was,
you. Thank you.
It was such a different Peter. I'm like, maybe it has been a couple years because you seemed so grown up to me. You seemed so much more comfortable in your skin. You seemed lighter. Like, do you feel quite different now than you did a few years ago?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think I owe a lot of that to honestly my experience, like getting into reality TV and all the experiences I've had with that, obviously from The Bachelor and then moving on to The Traitors. I think a lot of that also is just moving to New York City, moving out. I lived at home for a long time, so there's only so much growth you can have until that does happen. But I've been, super fortunate and just really enjoyed this time. And I've had a lot of time on my own. I've been by myself, a lot. And I really never had, I guess, that opportunity until I came to New York. So it's funny you say that. I've heard that kind of reception from a lot of people. So I take it as a positive thing. And I would tend to agree. But yeah, I think just a lot of growth for sure has happened in the last, couple of years, for sure.
Cutting that umbilical cord, there is something about safety and something about just knowing that someone's there to take care, and whether it's your mom, dad, whatever, just you're at home, right? It's the friendly confines of you grew up in Westlake Village. You just know everything and it's safe. Growing when you were out on your own, moving to New York is obviously an extreme situation to be able to grow and to kind of spread your wings, so to speak. So it had to have been a good thing for you and probably something you didn't even know until you did it.
It was great. Yeah. And listen, I definitely had, I think, obviously I probably lived at home probably a lot longer than the average person.
Mom, I forgot. Mom used to make breakfast for your dates. I forgot about that. Barb, God, what an icon of television.
I should have said he cut the umbilical cord.
No, it was great. I mean, the good thing about when I was living at home, though, again, the nature of my job, it did afford me a lot of that independence still. I was gone at least half the month, three quarters of the month, just with work in general. So I still had a little bit of that independence. But yeah, I would definitely attribute moving on and growing up, if you will, kind of getting comfortable into your own skin definitely was the move out here. And it's been great. I've made an insane group of new friends, awesome community I've been able to surround myself with. So many opportunities out in New York. I am obsessed with it out here. It's funny. Like, I feel like a lot of people you either hate New York or you love it. There's no in between.
Right.
I'm the side that I love it. I'm one of the only pilots that I know that I fly with that's based out of New York or Newark that lives in the city. Everyone thinks I'm crazy for doing that, all my colleagues. But for me, it's just this city. I feel like I thrive in it. I love the energy. And specifically this year, I've been saying, I don't know what it is, about 24, but this has been like the best year yet. And I really, really feel good about it and what's to come. And just in a really, really good place right now, for sure.
Wow.
Look, and by the way, I meant it in the most complimentary way.
And we're only in Q1.
I know. Wow. So how do you feel like you've changed? Like, there was one thing you said on Traitors at one point. I think you said this is so much less stressful than The Bachelor.
Oh, it was. There's no doubt about that.
So that made me wonder, was Peter just super stressed on The Bachelor, or has he changed a lot since then? Maybe it's both. How do you feel like you've changed?
Yeah, totally. So going back to that comment, I think, you know, I love to reflect, and I just think super deeply, and I do a lot of that. But reflecting on my experience with The Bachelor, I was the biggest people pleaser in the world going through that experience. And I thought I was just doing it truly out of like the goodness of my heart. And I thought that was the best way to go about it in that unique kind of situation. Obviously, you know, being in that role, you have a kind of a responsibility, at least I felt, to, you know, give a certain portion of yourself to each individual woman. And they had done so much to be there. And I just, you know, looking back on it and then just replaying things and reflecting, I was a big people pleaser. And that's one thing that I've definitely grown out of. And I think actually specifically kind of translating that towards the traders, I think I showed exactly that. I wasn't so much in that mode of trying to be people, you know, Peter, the people pleaser anymore, and just trying to make everyone happy. And that's kind of just, that's always been in my nature, but I've definitely grown from that. And I was, you know, making moves and playing strategic games, not necessarily with that as like my main priority. And I was putting myself first in a lot more of the situations. And I think I've done, not just on, you know, on TV or on the traders, but just generally in life as well. That's probably the biggest lesson that I think I've learned about myself, and like something I wanted to kind of change and evolve into something different about. Still maintain a little bit of that, because again, that's just at my core and who I am, and in my heart. But I would say that's the biggest change I would see, I would say for myself, for sure, up to this point.
Well, and it's very interesting. People that come from our show translate to other shows very well. A, they're very beloved.
That's true, Chris.
But it's something about you, how, I guess, the mental gymnastics and emotional gymnastics we put you through on The Bachelor, Bachelorette. You know, whether it's Hannah Brown and Tyler went off to do that Special Forces thing, you've done Traitors, Ari did Traitors. What is it, do you think, about Boot Camp Bachelor that prepares you for these other shows so well?
That's a great question, because you're spot on. There's been a lot of success from the show. You know, I don't know. I guess it is just a very, very, to me specifically, doing The Bachelor, it was truly the hardest, most difficult 2 months I've ever gone through, ever. Like, I can truly say that in my life. Yeah. And there were so many incredible highs, incredible lows as well, everything in between. And I guess through the nature of the show, maybe just a lot of the people that come off of it have similar experiences, some higher, some lower. But I think, it was a great platform looking back on, just to be able to look back to and reflect and try to dissect, why was I that way in that situation? Or, you know, being able to compare difficult situations that maybe I'm going through now later in life, and I compare them back to moments that I can in a heartbeat go back to and feel the exact sensation and feeling that I was feeling, you know, back then, that it's like, this really isn't that bad. You know, I've got tougher skin, and there's a reason for that. I don't know. I think it's just a lot of good experience. And obviously the show itself is designed to, you know, as you know, to, you know, just go find love and hopefully find a partner. But there's so many other benefits that come from that show and opportunities for growth that the average viewer, I don't think, actually realizes is actually happening and going on with that individual person. And yeah, I think, like you said, it's just a great boot camp in a weird way to kind of set you up for success and other stuff.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase, so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Books.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Books.com, promo code Chris. Books.com and use promo code Chris. Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu. I like watching all of you go off and do other shows, and I find it very interesting to watch the dynamic, and almost, I feel like it almost makes y'all producers. You become a producer. You start thinking 5 steps ahead of the game that's being played, which is very fascinating. That's why I think you guys do so well.
Maybe because Bachelor is so much about like analyzing who you are and figuring out what's wrong with you and why you haven't found love yet. And it's like a lot of analyzing yourself and other people.
Yeah. And I think it's also about you, right? It's like, I mean, you're one of one on The Bachelor, right? It was you, man. It's your life. You are cut open on the operating table and you are exposed. Whereas traders, it's like, I'm one of many and I can kind of be the persona I want at this time. And
well, that was what was so smart about you, Peter, is I'm like, oh, Peter surprised everybody. He's like, he's not this like sweet little Pete on Traitors. Yeah. He's kind of coming in hot.
You caught some shit in the press. It's like the way he's playing is ruining the game. And it's, you know, I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Listen, I played hard. I played really hard. I wasn't holding back. It was so funny because I really didn't ever expect to go back on reality TV. This was a really, really cool opportunity that just came to me, honestly, like a week before we even started filming. And so super last minute, I was like, you know, you guys know me, I'm a yes man. I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I had seen a couple episodes with Ari, so I was like all about it. And I went into it, and it's funny. Yeah, you bring that up. I guess if there is any kind of relation, it was more relatable to The Bachelorette. You're right, because you can kind of blend in a little bit more. Yeah. It's not the you show kind of like at the forefront. And I don't know if I just kind of thrived in that environment a little bit more. But I think I was able to take advantage too of like some preconceived notions from people. I know I definitely did, because people I think were definitely underestimating me for whatever reason. I didn't realize people thought I was so dumb. I guess that's like, that's a thing that I've received so much of. And I'm like, guys, it's not easy to be a pilot.
I was going to say, I never thought you were dumb. You're a pilot. You know, you had an experience I don't think anybody else had. I mean, I was literally filming my recap show, Roses and Rosé, like the night before shutdown happened. It was like we got in that filming and then I think the world shut down.
Yeah.
And you had this experience where most people come off doing a big reality show and they have like all these opportunities and all this press and everything's going on. And you kind of went off your show and then went into an unprecedented lockdown. Looking back, how do you think that affected you? Like that, I mean, I remember that was when like you and Kelly kind of got back together and everybody was like, well, what's going on? Where were you at then? Yep. And how did it affect you going from the show to lockdown?
Yeah, when I kind of like earlier on said that, you know, there's moments I kind of go back to and I can compare like, ah, this really isn't that bad compared to something else I've been through. I would say like the end of The Bachelor was the biggest moments where I was tested as like a human being. That was very, very difficult for me. And I just had never experienced anything like that. You got to imagine, you know, I was on top of the world, right? You go through just a normal guy, you know, obviously you got a job, he's, you know, passion, he's obsessed with, and life's going good. And then you get these cool opportunities, and you bachelorette, and then your life just changes overnight. You're getting, you know, travel around the world, and just this whole new world is open to you. And then to have this insane honor of, hey, we want you to be the guy and have you be the bachelor. It's like, oh, this is getting better and better. It's just kept climbing it. And, you know, at some point, probably something's going to crash, right? It's just life. Ups and downs. And so I went through that whole phase, and we had so much success with the show too, as you know, that season was airing, and yeah. I was, you know, definitely proud of all that. But ultimately, you know, what I really did want in that, it really was like, I'd throw everything else away to have found someone in that moment to, you know, have started a life with. And obviously that didn't happen with me. And so that was really, really tough. And, you know, and then there was, you know, a lot of the back and forth with certain relationships that just kind of was like a little bit of toxicity just coming into my life with that. And then you put in a shutdown, and then you put the end of the world in, right? Yeah. And you mix all this stuff together. It was just like, holy shit, how much I was up here and now I'm right here. Yeah. This is tough. And and yeah, it was a tough period. And honestly, I owe a lot of it to Kelly. I think that's also a reason why we got so close so quickly. Yeah. Just because we, you know, especially where I'd been and what I was going through, and I know her situation was a little bit different, but we obviously bonded and we helped each other with that. So I'm very thankful for that relationship for that reason. And yeah, it just, I don't know, it just, that was such a hard point in my life, but I'm not mad about it. I'm very grateful for it because now I see where I'm at again, and I'm so grateful for where I'm at and all the opportunities I have right now and where life's going. And I don't forget though, that again, that the pendulum of life and how you can have those highs and lows. It was a really, really incredible experience to go through for all the reasons. And I'll never forget that.
God, Peter, you are in such a good place. Yeah. I'm like reflecting on this right now, because sometimes we talk to people and it'll be years after the show and they're like still really, really in the trauma. Well,
and it's true. I mean, you can't enjoy the highs if you don't go through the lows. And it's, you know, and the other adage that I think is very true is don't get too high with the highs and don't get too low with the lows. It's like they are both going to happen. Your season was interesting. Like it was a weird time in The Bachelor. You know, I don't know if you noticed this, but I was talking to Lauren about it. And I always reflect and think back when I know a guest is coming on, and you know, our relationship wasn't that strong to start. Like it was almost like I was kept away from you in the beginning, even though you lived right below me. And I'm like, oh, there's this guy from Westlake. And I was trying to get to know you. And there were certain seasons where, and it had nothing to do with you or me. It was more like the producers would be fighting over being the bachelor whisperer, right? There was the power dynamic of who was going to be, you know, Pete's best friend. I'm sure you felt that. And so I didn't get to know you as well until kind of later on in the show, I felt.
Totally.
And it was an interesting season because I also probably knew your women less than others. Like I didn't know Hannah Ann. I didn't know Madison Pruitt that well.
Why was that?
I don't, it just.
Did you sense that,
Peter? Previous seasons?
Just logistics. I think it was just logistics of where I was maybe and what was going on in life. I don't remember. And then just the travel sometimes dictated whether I really got to know or spend time with them in airports and on planes and stuff. And we had a wild travel schedule with you. I just wasn't as emotionally present. And it was a season where I felt like I was a little bit detached from, unfortunately, which I feel bad because I'm like, I wasn't there for him.
Now I'm going into interview mode with him, but do you think you were getting burnt out on the show at that point?
For sure. I think I think there was a lot of things going on in my life at the time. And, you know, producers would do their thing and I would do my thing.
But what does that mean? What do you mean?
We were in Brisbane and we were at one hotel, and then you guys, remember when you went up north, or we weren't in Brisbane, we were south of Brisbane in the Gold Coast, and I forget.
Gold Coast.
Where's the Rock?
We went to the Northern Territory up near Alice Springs.
Yeah, so we're up near Alice Springs, and all my friends are like, do not go up there. There is nothing to do up there.
I see. I actually, I, I, You're right. But I actually, that was my favorite place we ever went.
Well, cause you had, shit to do. Like, cause obviously we're planning stuff for you to do. So you're going to the great stuff and you're on the hill. Like for me, like you're going to be in Alice Springs. It is a barren wasteland. You're going to be there for like, so I stayed in Brisbane and hung out by myself in Brisbane for like 6 days. Went to U2 was there. Went and saw U2 concert.
Played, oh, that's when you went to that U2 concert alone.
Played golf.
Peter, you went to a U2 concert alone instead of hanging out with you. What a choice.
That's why we didn't get close on the show, bro.
It was me, man.
For U2.
No, it was me, not you. I was in a dark place. It was weird. Weird times.
You want to talk about one of the hardest parts, and that it was with you. Oh my God. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to answer stuff?
Hell yeah.
Honestly, you really are?
Of course.
Okay. I've always wondered this.
Yeah.
Because you want to know the hardest part I ever went through where I was ready to just concede. And I was like, I have nothing left to give. Strength is gone.
What was it?
The finale day when we're out at the, that like really beautiful setup, right? For the engagement.
The most secluded place I've ever been on.
You drove
the show
for like an hour in the middle of nowhere to get there. I know.
Insane. We put you by a pond. Yeah. And so I came in and you were a mess.
Well, yeah, but then what you told me just completely destroyed me. And I think they even used it. I mean, I know it was good TV, but they used it to open up the season. But it was like that line of, you know, obviously I'd been going through so much up to that point. And then you tell me that Hannah Ann now doesn't know if she wants to even show up, doesn't know if she wants to come. And at that point, again, I can be so brutally honest now. Yeah. Like there was pressure. I probably should not have, you know, I shouldn't have proposed to Hannah Ann. Like I can honestly say that. And I got all caught up in it for sure. But when you were saying that to me, in my mind, I'm battling so much here of, is this the right thing to do? Like, I just feel so much pressure. I'm stressed out of my mind. I'm exhausted. You know, what am I supposed to do here? And then you told me that line about how she doesn't even know if she wants to come now at this point. And then I think that's when I left. And like, I think I almost passed out in that you guys had to take me to like that one of the houses there, just like lay on the bed because it was so hot outside as well. Was that actually, did they tell you to do that or did she actually tell you that? Was that for TV or what? I've always wondered.
Number one, she did not tell me. I did not talk to her. A producer would never allow me to talk to her. A producer told me one of the executive producers, you know, it's like three or four of them. So what would have happened then is I would have come into town. They would have told me probably day of when I got there, this is what's happened. You need to go out there and tell Peter, this is what she said. And then what would happen is I would follow my heart and I would just try to help in any way I could. So when I told you, and I think we were outside when I told you, right? And it was like 110 degrees. We are, you might as well have shot this on the sun. We're in the Sahara Desert up in,
All suited up.
And we're by a pond. It was really bizarre. And there was one house that had air conditioning and you were starting to get faint. And so we went in there. I remember you laying on the bed and we were just talking and we were just at that point talking. But no, how it would have worked was executive producers would have told me. I basically had my marching orders. I went out and told you. And honestly, not knowing if it was true or false, I don't know. I trusted them to tell me the truth.
Okay. I just had always wondered that because obviously, she did show up, but I just remember like, man, was that, because that would have hurt if it was like, if that was done just for TV at that point, I was like, please, like, I would hope they wouldn't have done that to me in that moment just because that was the hardest part of the entire show.
No, that was gut-wrenching. I was just curious. That was absolutely gut-wrenching.
Wait, I'm not remembering. Was there footage of her saying she wasn't going to show up? Like, was it true that she wasn't going to show up? And have you ever talked to her about it? I can't remember this.
There was no footage. I remember I briefly like asked her something about it because we were doing a like one of those hero shots after like we climbed up onto this big rock and we had like the glass of champagne and like, you know, cheers into like the end of the season and like love and happiness and all that. And I honestly don't think I really brought it up to her again after that just because I just kind of put it behind me. I think she like, I vaguely asked her, she's like, no, like I was, they had me like in a studio or in one of the houses for like a couple hours. But didn't get into too much detail. And that's on me. And I really don't know actually why I didn't dive into that more with her.
You know,
but
I'll chase
I was just always curious.
I'm going to get to the bottom
now
of this.
Now we need to know. Yeah. I mean, I find, Peter, as I talk to him about these things more, and you can tell me if I'm misrepresenting this, babe, but you were produced to a certain extent. It's like you, meaning Chris, you were aware, you've been doing the show for years and you're like aware of their tactics at this point, obviously 100 times more than someone new who's coming in as a contestant or a lead. But at the same time, you don't know what you don't know. Like you have to just trust that your producer's telling you this person feels this way, because obviously you can't be like, well, roll the tape and show me everything. And I'm, and Chris isn't there for everything. So to a certain extent, you have to like trust what the executive producer is telling you, but you also can't guarantee. Yeah. And some little part of your brain has to wonder, are they lying? I don't know.
And we would walk through it. You know, I would ask if they told me this is what, you know, hey, we need you to say this. I'd be like, okay, well, you know, this is going to crush him, or we might lose him and this might be the end of the show. Are you guys aware that, you know, are we okay with this? And what I would also try to do as, you know, kind of host slash producer, because you always have that producer hat. Because once I go into a scene with you, then it's kind of on me to, you know, and I'm like, okay, what do you guys want out of this? What's the end goal? Like, is it to, you know, obviously drama and the, that is part of the goal, but also what is our end result? Like, are you okay with if Peter's done and we just, the show's over? And so, you know, I do fire those questions back to try and like get a vibe of like, what do you guys want out of this? What's the point? And there's things where they would push me too far, or I think they would do something inappropriate where if I felt like it was real and it was honest, even if it was tough, I would be okay with it. But if it crossed that line of just that ethical line, like there was stuff with Colton that I wouldn't say or do, or there were certain things that came to mind where I'm like, no, I'm not going to say that on live TV. I don't think that's fair. You know, even with your mom, there was stuff with your mom on the live show where they kind of wanted me to be harder or tougher. And I'm like, no, like this is his life. You know, I think everyone got the picture.
Yeah. I remember hearing from one of the producers, once they were kind of explaining, they're really honest with me and they're like, and again, I get it. Cause this it's a TV show. It's entertainment at the forefront for everyone that's watching. But it was interesting. It was like an ideal season. One of the producers told me was to have, you know, 75% of it where we can kind of churn up some drama and make very difficult moments and make opportunities for really good TV. But you do it to a certain extent where you can get that far along the show with maintaining that level of just suspense and drama and all the good stuff that people love to watch, but then still the last 25% be able to pull out that great love story and have it not be affected too much with, you know, too much, maybe toxic here, there, or whatever it is affecting the relationship, to really give it a chance to kind of prosper in the real world. And I remember them even saying like, it's a fine balance, and, you know, obviously they're really good. They're good at what they do. And so that's, you know, they've had really successful seasons for that reason. But I always thought that was super interesting.
Do you know, ironically, do you know what the term for that they used? It's called landing the plane.
Landing the plane.
That you want to push
after a turbulent flight.
You want to push the envelope. And this, I'm being dead serious. This is what we would call it, landing the plane. You want to push the envelope as far as you possibly can, but still land the plane.
Wow. That's
you don't
that's
want
really
everybody asleep in the back. You want the turbulence, you want a rocky ride, but you also want to land at LaGuardia.
And then the applause at the end for the landing and exactly. The pilot's gonna be like, why the hell are you guys clapping?
We just landed. And we all know, of course, you know, the plane's on autopilot, you're not really flying.
You were
okay, get out of here.
I'm just kidding.
Maybe you were on autopilot.
I'm just kidding.
I was hand flying that whole damn season. Okay?
Peter, your season was so good. I'm feeling nostalgic. God, I missed that. That was such a good season. And I mean that just from an entertaining. And I didn't know that you felt like it destroyed you, though. I'm soaking that in. Did that make you hesitant to go and do Traitors and do any other shows?
Yeah, I don't actually really think I've ever really told anyone that. I mean, close friends and everything, but like I'm not like on a podcast or anything. And I guess destroyed is like, that's a strong word. Just again, very, very low moments is something is how I would describe what I went through. But with Traitors, it had just been so many years removed. It also had nothing to do with love, which was great. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I just wasn't cut out for the whole love dating aspect. But you know, competition wise, that's always right up my alley. And I've always really been into that and always thrived in that environment too, just from, you know, sports and high school and all that stuff. But none of those feelings really made me hesitant towards the Traitors. It was funny that I remember like the first couple of days showing up and you know, for me, like, right, I had been removed for a couple of years. So you're out of like this, the comfort zone of you seeing all these cameras around and the mics and everything and just like the sets and all that.
Doing ITM interviews and.
Yeah. Like I almost, you don't forget it, but yeah, kind of got rusty with it. And I remember like the first couple, like the first day I was like, I know I've done this. I know I can do this, but I don't really feel comfortable yet. Like I got to get my bearings back. And it quickly came back. And again, the show was just, it was stressful in other ways, but it was just so damn fun. Yeah. Like I had the time of my life. So there was never moments where I'm like, why? Like there was no low moments. Even when I got like banished, it was just, I appreciated the competition of the game so damn much that I didn't even worry about it like that.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
But I'm curious, did you, to piggyback off LZ, was that low point exacerbated? Like, did you feel like you were abandoned by the show and kind of left on your own? Or was it because of the response from the viewers? What do you feel gutted you so much? What was it?
I think so. For me, a lot of people always are surprised by this, but like me at my core, truly, and I'll always be this way. Like I am definitely a more reserved person. Mm-hmm. I've always described myself as like a shyer person. And of course that makes no sense to people when they say, oh, you've been on, you know, a couple of these shows, but I've done that for a reason. I've always been a believer in pushing yourself to do things to make yourself uncomfortable again. And going back to the whole growth aspect, I think that's what helps you get to those points in the most efficient way. And so as much as I was uncomfortable a lot of the cases, I was okay with that. But again, going back to like how I've always been more of a private person, a shyer guy, more reserved. And then you get, you know, your life changes overnight. And when it's all positive reception, it's great. It's easy to take that in. But then when it kind of turns on you, that's when it tests you and it gets really difficult. And so for me, you know, it was a mix of everything. It was The biggest one was I felt like almost I just had let myself down, you know, like I had put so much into it. I wanted it so bad. And you know, the end result wasn't what I wanted. And then you mix in everyone and their mother's opinion about you as well. And if it's negative stuff, that just, no one's meant for that. No one's like, you can't prepare yourself for that until you kind of go through it. And so not being able to escape that for a while and almost have a way to like prove them wrong or anything. Like you can't really kind of fight back towards it. You just kind of have to take it.
Yeah.
And so it was just a period of like feeling like powerless. You didn't have much control over the situation. And if there was a narrative that was trying to be spun, you just kind of had to like go with it and accept it, even though you knew the truth and the people close to you. And that's all that really matters truly at the end of the day. But it was just that period of trying to adapt to that and become okay with it. That's what was just difficult. It was new. But again, I really do. When I say that I appreciate that period, I really do, because like I said, I'll never forget that. And I can always go back to that and I can see how far I've come. And, you know, if I ever, you know, hopefully I don't face anything like that again in my life. But if I do, I know that I have the strength and like the kind of like the battle scars to get through it.
Sounds like we all went through something very similar.
Well, I think that was
honestly, I think so.
I think that was the great button on your whole career, babe, is that you kind of went through what the show does to everyone. Yeah. It's the deeply
great,
ironic.
The great irony.
Isn't that ironic, right? That's wild, deeply. Actually, if you think about that.
Well, and
that's something I've never said out loud before, but which I've been thinking for a couple of years. Yeah.
How many years, Chris, did you do it?
19 years.
19
years.
That's why he was going to see you two alone, Peter. He's so burnt out.
But you knew, you know, I knew that dog would come back to bite me at some day. But then you kind of forget. Like I knew early on. So when they sued Bob Guinea.
Why?
He was in a band. He was the bachelor. And then they wanted to do a talk show with him. They were shooting a pilot for a talk show. And he was doing his band. He was in his band, Fat Amy, and they released an album. So he had a record deal prior to The Bachelor. So he was trying to honor this record deal. And then, of course, when he did The Bachelor, he became so famous and it was huge. Well, he was still trying to do both. And Warner and ABC, whoever it was, got really pissed off and got upset. And, you know, long story short, they sued Bob Guinea for like a ton of money. And I just remember thinking, he's our hero. He's our star. If they're willing to go after him, why wouldn't they go after me?
That like planted the seed in your head.
This is early days. Bob was like, what, number three on the list, whatever. I go, and I just, it always stuck in the back of my mind. I'm like, if they're willing to go after him, they'll go after me. It's just a business. It's a business. You're a rounding error to them. It doesn't matter. And so I always try, you know, it's impossible not to emotionally get involved in this stuff. You did it one season. I did it for 19 years. So yes, you have to get emotionally involved. It's part of you. But at the same time, I always tried to remember this can come back. And then it did. the great irony.
Do you think you were ready to like, in your mind, I don't know if you ever talked on this before, but were you getting ready to the point to like leave anyways, or were you still just riding the wave, or where were you at with that?
Both. No, I was, Lauren and I talked, cause we were already dating. We were talking about, my contract was up. We were starting a new negotiation for a new deal. I think they had offered me a 5-year deal. And so we were in the middle of negotiations when all this happened. And I'm like, do I step away? Like it's been 19 years. Maybe I just get to 20 and I call this, you know, maybe just sign a 1-year deal and just be done. It's like, it's kind of run its course. My heart's not in it like it used to be. And so, you know, Lauren knows, I was emotionally struggling with what to do, but at the same time, you don't want to be ungrateful. It's a great job. It's changed my life. And I'm very grateful for it. So I'm like, you know, you don't want to be that jerk that just walks away from something fantastic. And, you know, do I just need a little time? Do I need a little break? So I was fighting with all that when it all went down.
Well, we've never said any of this out loud, Peter. It's all happening today. He's never said that. He's literally just saying that for the first time. It's all happening. We're flying the plane, Peter.
Land the plane, baby.
We're going to land it, okay? I'm going to grease it on. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I will say this. I always felt, because of where things were at with his contract, that they were really using, capitalizing off of what happened actually for a in the beginning very much. They were trying to like get him for cheaper. Like, I think they were, when everything happened,
leverage,
they were like, oh good, something's gone a little wrong for him. Let's lean into it. Let's make it worse. Because then when we re-sign him, we can like get a big discount. And so I think that's what was happening in the beginning. And then things, for various reasons and choices, really spiraled out of control. But that was why in the beginning, no one was like coming to his defense, because they were trying to leverage him in contract negotiations. So that's what I always thought. Yeah. But
crazy times.
And here we are now. Yeah. By the way, Peter, I was just going to say, I think a huge part of the reason you're in such a healthy place now, you did the smart thing. You kept your normal job. You went back to it. Mm-hmm. And that is so smart to do. I was thinking, like, why does it feel like it's been so long since I've seen him? Oh, because he's not at like every single bachelor event, doing every podcast, like living, like you're like living a normal life still, which is smart to be like, I'm going to stay grounded, even though you're up in the air.
Well, and I think that was part of your thing, was maybe the silver lining of your show going into the pandemic was you really didn't have a choice. It's like, well, there's nothing to do. We're not, there are no appearances. So I'm going to keep flying. And I know the dream was to be, you know, flying for United, which you made that dream come true, and you got to fly with your dad, which was such a cool thing. You and I talked a lot.
Oh my God.
You and I talked a lot about that moment and the fact that you and your dad got to realize that. And before he retired, you guys were in the cockpit together. It was just so cool. But what I'm interested, how many times when someone's on a United flight, they find out Pete is our pilot, and like what that does.
How
to
many
them.
Phone numbers have you gotten on airplanes, Peter? That's what I want to know.
A lot.
Is it true that it wasn't
on cocktail napkins?
It wasn't 9/11. The reason they started locking cockpit doors was because, you know,
of Peter.
Yeah, because of
Wait,
Peter.
Okay, I have to ask you about a rumor. Are you on dating apps? What are you doing? I heard that you're on dating apps.
Well, first of all, are you single?
Yes, I am single. I am on Hinge, and I've never gotten accepted to Riot. It's kind of like a funny running joke with all my friends, but never got the invite for that.
That's
but yeah, I'm
so
on Hinge.
Funny. Oh, so, and is this a promotional deal, or are you like, I'm on Hinge?
No, like I'm legit. Listen, I've never been that kind of person. I've heard everything, like, but I've never been that person that, that's beneath, like nothing's beneath anyone, in my opinion. Right?
I totally
like,
agree.
I know I went on like a show, right? A very successful dating show, but I also have no issue going on Hinge. And if it ultimately is, if that's the, like my brother, he re-met his now wife, my sister-in-law, Christine, through Hinge. They actually went to high school for 2 years, but never talked. Anyways, years later, reconnected on Hinge. So that's a success story. I've always thought if I meet my wife, the woman of my dreams through Hinge, so be it.
If you meet the woman of your dreams in any way, shape, or form, yeah. who cares
exactly.
How you got there?
By the way, I've heard nothing good about Raya, but I know a lot of people who have met on Hinge. I give props to Hinge. I think it's the most successful one, I feel like, just from stories I hear. So like, how's it going? What, how's it going on Hinge?
Yeah, it's going good.
That's a ringing endorsement.
I'm definitely, you know, dating. I'm definitely putting myself out there. A lot more kind of, you know, it's funny, Chris, I think about this day a lot. I remember when, remember we were driving around Westlake and we were going to all like the spots, like my first job at Costco.
And yeah. They had us mic'd up and you and I were alone in the car. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we were just like driving at cool spots, like from growing up. But then you like asked me like really what you're looking for. I remember specifically we were about to merge left, go on Canaan, I think, to go out to the mansion.
Yep.
And, it's like, oh, I just want, you know, like I'm looking for like my best friend and all that, and which I obviously am. But I think I've realized, I've always said like, I want that sweetheart. I feel like I have a big heart and, you know, to give to someone as well. And I want that reciprocated. But on top of that, I also kind of realized too, like I want a little bit of fire in that as well. And like, I've never actually really been honest with that, I guess, to myself, but I do need a little bit of that. Obviously not too much to the point, you know, where it gets a little out of hand, but because ultimately I've really realized like I am craving so much just to find a relationship that really just brings me peace. And I can really just like dive into that like head first and really let something beautiful grow. But I just always remembered, for whatever reason, you asked me exactly what I'm looking for. And I've, throughout the years, I'm like, really, what am I looking for? Do I like this or like that? And it just goes back to that. But yeah, I think I have a good idea of what I'm looking for. I'm dating. Like I said, nothing serious right now, but, you know, hopeful.
Well, I can tell you, as I'm sitting next to this one, being challenged is important. Someone who pushes you, someone who challenges you, makes you better and doesn't just say, yes, you're great. Yes, you're right. Nobody needs a yes man.
Well, Peter, you two are very similar. I don't know if you ever felt this way with Chris, but I'm realizing it now. Like you saying the people pleasing thing, that is Chris. And we've talked a lot about how, like, I think equality can often be a blessing and a curse, like something that's so great about you. But if you take it too far, it hurts you, right? Like, it's awesome that you care about other people. But then when you take it too far, it hurts you. And totally. I think it sounds like you both kind of need a similar person, like someone who's going to be your best friend, but challenge you to not do those things that you...
I don't think it takes a really great psychiatrist to realize we both have very strong moms.
Oh, yep. That's it.
That's true as well. Yeah.
That's why you need that fire.
You know what? Exactly. And I think I've kind of always maybe shied away from that. But recently I'm like, no, I want that. And like you said, challenge. I need someone that just... Like, I want someone that's smarter than me. I want someone that really is going to like push me in that way. And I don't know. I never really looked at it like that. But ultimately, I want peace. Like, that's really the biggest thing.
He's like,
I
for
want,
God's sakes, so. Man, just I want some peace.
But Hannah Brown was fiery and you liked Hannah. So I feel like, you've like done that a little before.
That's why I was about to leave the show for her 100%. And obviously that never happened. But yeah, Hannah, exactly. She had that. She definitely had that.
Okay. Two things then. In hindsight, and I don't know how honest we can be because obviously you don't know, but do you wish A, you had just left the show for Hannah B? And second, do you resent the fact that, because I've heard you in interviews say that you were kept away from Kelly, do you wish you'd had a better true shot at Kelly while we were taping your season?
I remember vividly telling her, like, I don't care about all this. If you really want to like give this a shot with me, this is a wild way to start, but let's do it. And, you know, she had her contract at the time with Dancing with the Stars and it wasn't going to happen, but those weren't just like soft, like bogus words. I meant what I said.
But do you wish you
didn't
had?
Happen. I truly believe everything happens for a reason. And I always go back to that saying that I said on the show many times, you know, the one that my mom's always told me of, deja las aguas correr, like whatever is meant for you, is coming for you, is going to be yours and nothing can be done to change that. So that's my life philosophy. And I'll never be hung up too much on a door that's closed because I always have that positive outlook that it's because something else is coming down the line and it's preparing me for that. So to answer, no. But in that moment, I meant what I said. And with Kelly, if I wouldn't have gotten so close to Kelly and dated her for so long after, I probably would have had those thoughts. But I don't feel like we got to know each other extremely. We dated for on and off for about 3 years. So there was nothing that I was like missing that the show could have offered. It would have been really fun because her and I got along so well, and it would have been cool to see that dynamic play out on the show more. But no, I don't regret that.
Okay, I have a must ask. We've brought up your mom now, and God, she's one of the best people I've ever seen on television. How much is mom now involved in dating? Is she helping you on Hinge? What is Barb doing? How involved is she?
No, my mom is not helping me on Hinge. Stop it. No, she's not.
Thank God.
No, it's great. My parents are extremely supportive and it's really cool because they, you know, I'm 32, not that I'm crazy old here, but, you know, a lot of my friends, the majority of my friends from high school, all of them are all settled down, married, multiple kids now at this point. Some on second wives, you know, whatnot, but it's cool. My parents haven't really ever put that pressure, like since I've come to New York, like they're letting me do my thing. They're letting me go figure this out for myself. Like obviously we'll talk and I'm very open with my family and very close. And I love, you know, sharing good news. And if I met someone that was really special, like I'll, you know, they're the first people I share that with. But I really appreciate that they haven't like put any pressure on me, you know, at 32 and having, you know, maybe all these ups and downs with relationships, like even though it hasn't worked yet, like I know they're my biggest fans and they're in my corner and, you know, they can't wait to welcome in whoever it is to our family and kind of complete it. So very, very happy I can say that.
I know there were the rumors about Ek and Sue, which in part was because this is part of why I bring up Barb, because Barb was hanging with Ek and Sue.
Yeah, that was just, Ekin is amazing. Ekin and I, there was a lot of rumors of us dating and all that, but she had, what that was about, she had come out to, we were doing the reunion episode for the Traitors out in LA. And so she's from London. So she had flown out a couple of days prior and we were good friends. So they connected and they went out with Christine, my sister-in-law. But no, yeah, okay. Nothing's going
just
on.
Hooked just hooked up a couple of times. not a big deal.
Since you're back in the, he's like, no, for the record, since you're back in the reality TV world now, anybody else, if you like, if they came your way, are there any like crushes you have of people out there who, oh, maybe I would date this person?
Like specifically it's on TV right now as well, like reality TV.
Sure. Anybody floating out there? Now your paths might cross.
I'm going to answer no on that because there is something right now that's kind of just started that I'm really excited about. So
excellent. What? Excellent. Oh, I love this.
From Hinge?
No comment on that, but yeah.
It's Phaedra, isn't it?
It's Phaedra. You're good. You are good. it's that green cloak and that turret, man. It really got me, but no, there's something I'm really excited about. And
so it is someone from another reality show.
No, not from TV, not from Hinge, not from any of that.
Excellent.
Not someone famous.
I'm hopeful.
No.
These are early days though.
Yeah, very, very, very early.
Very early days. Because he already said he's single. So he's still, but he's what he is right now. He's single, but hopeful. You know how they say it's complicated? It's not complicated. It's single and hopeful.
Single and focused.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. It's single the fun. By the way, this is the best time of part of a relationship. It's that early days when you're so excited and you can't wait to find out more and you can't wait for that next chat, the next talk.
Okay. Well, then let's get a cute moment on the record for when you two end up together. What do you like about this person?
Oh, yeah.
We are extremely similar. We come from very similar backgrounds. I'll be honest, I haven't even met her yet, but going to be meeting soon. And we have a lot of mutual friends that think we'd be a pretty good match. And we've just been, you know, just texting and on the phone.
I love it.
It's just started, but I know that's a little too soon to like be excited, but that's just how I am. And
no, it's not.
It's something I'm excited about.
If you're not excited about, why are you doing it?
That's true. That's a good point.
What's the point?
By the way, again, Peter, exactly. Chris is the same way. Like in the beginning, he was like, I'm like, oh, he's like really all in really quickly.
I'm excited. Like when I started, when we started dating, I quickly realized.
Where did you guys meet?
On the show.
Oh, you met on the show.
She knew some of the people like Ben and maybe even you before she knew me. It's like, so we met.
Well,
she interviewed me on the show.
For years. And then.
I can get that. That makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. But then we didn't really talk until later. But then when we started dating, I really got excited. And again, how I knew.
I think that's a mark of like, and you tell me, Peter, maybe if it's because you feel like you've grown up a little bit, but like, when you get into your, I think I wish I could tell my 20 something self this. When you get into your 30s, when you've had some like dating experience, you kind of know quicker because you know what you're looking for more. You've made some mistakes, you figured it out. Like, do you feel like you're at that place where you could know pretty quickly?
100%. And that's one thing too. Like, I, in the most polite, respectful way, like if it's not serving either of us, I'm quick to cut it out. Like, I'm not looking to waste time. I know what I want. I'm excited for that. And you know, I don't want to waste anyone's time.
You get to fast forward past the bullshit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Peter, I'm super happy for you. But the only reason I'm a little bummed is, I'll be honest, before this podcast, we were kind of like, as we move into the reality dating show space again, is Peter Weber on the roster? So I don't know.
Hopefully I am not available for that.
Really? Would you not ever do it again?
Yeah, you would.
No, I not if I find something before that.
No,
you
no,
guys
no
what are, if you're single?
No, if you're single.
Never say never.
Never say never. That's what we're going to end on. Hey, in all seriousness, man, number one, it was good to catch up with you. Number two, I really am so genuinely happy to see where you are in your life. It looks like your shoulders have dropped and you got this glow about you and you're living your life on your terms. And I truly love that for you. We're very happy for you.
Thank you guys. Yeah, that means a lot. I appreciate that. It's good to see you guys too.
It's so good to see you.
Got to connect in person here.
I know. Again, you, Raven and Adam, they were at the wonderful Tia Booth sweating, but we were like, oh, I wish those three had been able to come. That was a bummer. We wanted to see you. So fly through Austin sometime soon and we'll take you out.
You know, I know it's whenever I upgrade, there'll be a good chance because I'll be back on a 737 or Airbus doing domestic flying. Right now, all the stuff's international, but I'm actually seeing Tyler, and he's got his event tonight for his show, and Jason will be there. So,
oh, cool.
A couple of the guys.
Yeah, so tell everybody we said hello and give them our love, and we will see you soon.
It's so good to see you. Should we feel all safe right, on the Boeings? What do you think?
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Yes, yes, 100%.
All right, Peter.
That'll all get figured out. Don't worry.
We will talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, sounds
thanks
good,
for taking the time today. So good to see you. Bye.
Of course. Likewise, guys. See ya.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad we got to catch up with Pete. It's always interesting to me. People come on, and I've noticed they like need a little, like when Peter said, Chris, I've always wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
And also, I always remember this moment. It really makes me. Honestly, we just think you're so good at your job because you impact people so much, and they always like have a couple burning or unanswered things for you. It's like they need a little therapy right. with you, I think.
It's things I don't realize. Things I, you know, there's moments that, because there's so many for me that I, and
it's
you
like
never,
a dad vibe. Well, you
never, yeah. And you never know what impacts that person or what really stood out to them. And it's interesting to me, the things like I would have probably forgotten about the time we drove around Westlake together, but obviously we had that moment and I vividly remember it now, but it's very interesting. And I love when they do have a burning question because it meant something to them.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And we'll be back soon because say it, babe.
We have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the most dramatic pod ever, and make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.